Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a kind of chilly 42 degrees and overcast, sort of damp and squishy here still in upstate New York. So, where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Gulf War, Pentagon, Antarctica, Nazis and energy weapons. I don't know. It was a good mishmash of a lot of things. We looked at the day before Rumsfeld and General Myers being questioned by Nora O'Donnell at a White House press briefing in regards to experimental energy weapons potentially being utilized during the Gulf War. We, the day before, had read something from Democracy Now! Where they had featured an interview with two Iraqi doctors who had been at the hospital when a couple vehicles had arrived after being hit by these potentially newfangled weapons from the sky. And it was pretty disturbing. People were spliced and diced in ways that the surgeons had never really seen before. And they said they had never seen a weapon like that. And they were pretty certain that it was something experimental. There were no bullet holes, just lots of body parts and roasty, toasty corpses. So it was very disturbing. But even more disturbing was Rumsfeld and General Myers pretty much saying, yeah, well, they were working on experimental stuff. And yeah, well, if the situation calls for it, yeah, we could potentially use it on people in the battlefield if we needed to. And maybe we have, maybe we haven't. But it was pretty clear, I would have to say, that at least the option was on the table. And when you couple that with some of the evidence and two battlefield doctors who had seen lots of death and destruction saying they'd never seen anything like that before, you better believe that there was probably something going on. But even better than that, we attracted back, there was some evidence back in 1991, the first Gulf War skirmish, that there had also been some strange things going on. We started back about 2 weeks ago looking at the electromagnetic spectrum, radio frequency spectrum, and all these different 21st century devices that we depend on a daily basis, like our Wi-Fi routers and our microwave ovens and our cell phones and our cordless phones that operate within those bandwidths every day. We also took a look at how some of the structure, our communications infrastructure, we were looking at AT&T and the original Bell Labs. A lot of that microwave bandwidth frequency, which isn't just for microwave ovens. I know it's funny because they are. Microwave ovens do work in the microwave frequency, but that is not what it's exclusively used for. Our wireless communications through the air, long distance, for like our cell phones. Potentially, I don't know what they shoot up to satellites with. I would imagine by this point they'd use lasers, but I don't know. But it's all using wireless frequencies that are ubiquitous in our environment. We get exposed to them on a daily basis. There are now all kinds of reports talking about potential cellular damage. And as they are getting ready to roll out now, this 5G. 5G. We took a, I don't know, I was reading a bunch about it here over the last few days. And 5G starts in the mid to upper range of the microwave range, and then starts working its way up into the submillimeter and the millimeter range, which goes up into the terahertz frequencies. And there was a study. This is where we got to be concerned now, because remember, hey, look at what a microwave does when you put food inside of it, and it cooks it. And I mean, at least we're in the open air. We're not trapped in some little container being microwaved. But hey, how about when you're sitting in a little, like in a subway with your cell phone? I was thinking about that the other day. And everybody's got their cell phone in this tin can that's underground, going under the East River or something. Like, I don't know. Can microwaves even reach below the East River underground in a subway through a metal tin can? Who knows? But you know, they probably have wireless routers floating around out there. Whether it be a tin can or an airplane or whatever, subway, train, airplane, any type of public transportation. But you know, as we're moving to this next phase now of HD, they're talking about HD VR, and that's coming. I'm seeing all kinds of new virtual reality and augmented reality headsets coming with this new rollout of all these, you know, the Samsung S8, I think it's called, and the new iPhone, and all this other stuff. They're going to have all these add-on things now. And 5G, one of the things that we had read was going to be for high bandwidth applications, also to connect together the Internet of Everything. They call it the Internet of Things, but I'm telling you, used to be called the Internet of Everything until they kind of backed it off a little bit. That was Cisco's term. And us, once all this medical 21st century establishment gets their hands on most humans, so we all have some sort of bagging, tagging, and tracking that they can utilize, we all will be a node. I think I want to talk about some of that today. I don't know if we're going to make it up to the 5G, but we ended the show yesterday looking at, again, more of these energy frequency-esque weapons. We looked at, I don't know, some high-powered lasers, I think right at the end, Lockheed Martin was working on to take things down, burn a hole in the skull. I think it did say that in there somewhere. I was telling my friend yesterday, I used to joke about being able to have a hole burned in your skull from a satellite in the sky. Well, it really isn't a joke. I mean, I guess from some of the things I've seen, it probably would not be too much of a stretch anymore if it ever really was. I mean, we found that potentially Star Wars wink that was supposed to be ended back in the 80s and didn't really end, which was no big surprise to me, I don't think. We discovered two Plum Islands and all that mad science research that was supposed to have ended in 1972. I don't think really ended either. So surprise, guys. You know, we tell you it's over, but we just continue being more covert than we were to begin with, and then who knows any of the better. So anyway, we ended looking at these sonic projectors that DARPA had been messing around with, and I think these morphed to that Voice of God weapon. I had read in one of these, I've read so much over the last couple of weeks, guys, I can't even keep straight which one I was reading, but the majority of these, at least for these energy weapons, were all reputable publications. I don't know, it was hard for the Antarctica stuff. The Antarctica stuff is still kind of fringe, but mine comes from personal experience and first-handed reports for some of the stuff that I know about. So I don't know. I think there's more truth than what they lead you to believe out there. They just have websites with weird names and people with all these crazy theories, but I really think that there's something to the Antarctica Nazi thing. But anyway, back to these energy weapons. So we've used reputable sources to document most of these stories, and somewhere in here I read about, I believe it was the first Gulf War, that they had been talking about doing some sort of Allah in the sky. And it sounded to me like it was a very early version of like a Project Bluebeam that we've heard about a bunch of times, where they would be able to do a holographic image as well as voices and convince someone that, you know, it was the second coming of God. Convince someone to put down the weapons and surrender. And I believe it was the second Gulf War. That is actually, or maybe it was the first one. I don't remember which one. That was exactly what happened. The Iraqis put down their guns and surrendered. They supposedly used this sonic weapon on them. So the voice only you can hear, and where this is important is because as we're looking at energy weapons, now we also have to remember that there's all kinds of reports of targeted individuals. I've mentioned that before. Part 3 of Tim Kelly's interview with Dr. Horton is going to be airing this coming Saturday. I definitely recommend you catch it. I still have to cut it, but it's a great 3 hours. She had been a former CERN scientist and changed her major. She's in political or complex systems and how they work now out of Oxford University. And there were some strange things that started happening to her. And she was looking at the psychological aspects and some of these strange things and these psyop games that they play with you. They wanted her to shut up about something. But and there are a lot of people out there who claim that they have been targeted, and these voices that only they can hear are in their heads. We talked about also microwaves, microwave frequencies, those microwave Gwen towers. At one point, Jesse Ventura had done a show, and he did some investigation into it, and they were pointing to these microwave towers, not only these Gwen towers, but then we discovered that AT&T had a huge network of these towers across the United States. They had been in bed with the military since the 20s. I mean, maybe in the 20s, it didn't start out as military, but by the time the Second World War was in play, they were developing radar systems, communication systems, and all kinds of other things for the DOD. And conveniently, they had these microwave towers all over the country. We discovered that one in Kansas was tied right to a military base. I mean, not saying it could have very easily just been tied with some T1s or something for their long distance and local communication. But I would think that a missile base, as they said that it was one of the missile bases, would probably be a little more secure than that. Just tying out to any commercial entity. It's very suspicious, to say the least. I don't know, that eyebrow keeps going up every time we look at anything with these types of technologies. Now we have Russia coming out saying, yeah, we're working on energy weapons as well as psychotronic weapons and electromagnetic weapons, as well as genetic weapons, things like that. So don't worry about it. There's an arms race going on. And guys, this isn't fantasy anymore, okay? We read a few stories. I think it was Monday, maybe even Friday, about $40 million here and another $10 million there. And we're now ramping up even better energy weapons than we had before over the last 25 years, wink, that you weren't supposed to know we had. I mean, it's horrifying, guys. If any of those stories are even remotely true about what the surgeon saw in that bus and that other car after those people were hit by who knows what, spliced them, diced them, cut them into pieces, blew their guts out, roasted just their heads. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the other end of that. You know, a bullet is one thing, but some sort of high energy radio frequency beam from the sky, you know, because somebody in the upper echelon who pulls puppet strings pissed somebody else off, so they decided that they were just going to render some damage randomly on innocent people. You know, what kind of a world are we going to live in if that is the threat from the sky? You misbehaved there, Johnny. You're going to be evaporated. This is pretty horrifying. And as they'll be able to bag and tag you, track you every second of your day, and we're going to look at the story because I'm planning on getting there today, Camille. Camille sent me this thing about the 60, I think it was in the 60 gigahertz range. There was a paper one of the universities had put out, and oh, I better be able to find it here. So it's here, and it's perfect for tracking humans' movements and locations every second of the day. And that, again, is right in that, I think it was right in the microwave range, moving toward the submillimeter. I don't know. It's extremely frightening. So anyway, a voice only you can hear. This is the sonic projector. Now remember, on top of this, they've already established that they can suck thoughts out and implant thoughts and remove memories and read your dreams and do all this other crazy stuff. And maybe, you know, in the research literature, they only talked about being able to do it in an fMRI. But we weren't aware at that time that they already had, like, these scanning radio technologies that they've been using for a long time to do things. The connecting point is being able to beam voices into your head. What? Who even knew? Who even thought that there was even a possibility? Well, it most certainly is. Imagine a weapon that creates a sound only you can hear. Science fiction? No, this is one area that has a very solid basis in reality. And this is a story, like I said yesterday, out of 2007. The Air Force has experimented with microwaves that create sound in people's heads, which they've called a possible psychological warfare tool. Since the 50s and the 60s, they have been toying with heavy-duty psychological warfare. We mentioned this the other day. That's where the CIA has been really kind of in the lead on that here and abroad. And American Technologies can beam sounds to specific targets with their patented hypersound. And yes, the author has heard and seen it demonstrated, and they are shockingly effective. Now, DARPA is jumping on the bandwagon with their new sonic projector program. The goal of this program is to provide special forces with a method of surreptitious audio communication at a distance over a kilometer. Sonic projector technology is based on nonlinear interactions of sound in air translating to an ultrasonic signal into audible sound. The sound projector will be designed to be a man-deployable system using high-power acoustic transducer technology and signal processing algorithms, which result in no or unintelligible sound everywhere, but at the intended target. The sonic projector system could also be used to conceal communications for special operation forces and hostage rescue missions. Now, we'd also read about, it was a movie, I think. I thought it was an advertiser, but maybe that was in the UK, but there was a movie in New York City where they had stuff like that, where you walked kind of in front of the billboard, or in front of the ad, whatever it was. I think it was a billboard, and you could actually hear something from the movie or whatever. I don't remember if it was ghost sounds or something like that. And they were scaring people. But it was using the same sort of technology, voice to skull. There were also, I don't know, I'm talking off the top of my head here, but I think it was a bus or a subway in the UK where they were using it for advertising purposes. And if you put your head to the glass, you would start hearing the ads. How many times did you do that in when you were going to school? You're riding on the school bus, and I would just sit there and I'd put my head against the glass and I'd watch out the window for the ride home. Well, I don't know, in the 21st century, you could be listening to commercials all the way home. So fast forward now, 6 months into 2007, the voice of God weapon returns. So maybe they did use it. I don't know. I don't remember which Gulf War it was. But my fingers hurt too much to look it up right now. I don't know, guys. My knuckles are, like, super swollen. I used to get this when I was working in restaurants a lot. And I am almost now coming to the conclusion that I think it's cleaning agents that are doing it to my hands. Because I did some, I don't know, I've been on a bender since I quit smoking here a week ago. And it keeps me busy, but yesterday I decided to start on some walls. down the stairway from upstairs down to the dining room. And I don't know. I don't know what they do. It's not me because I barely go up there. But every time I clean those walls, it's like a month later and you just see ground in handprints and whatever. So I took an old toothbrush and the stuff that's supposed to be like green, clean, and mean. But I'm not sure it is because I had a toothbrush and a hunk of paper towels. Those paper towels got pretty saturated, and I had it in my hand, and I was doing baseboards and whatever while the paper towels were saturated. And I woke up this morning, and bang, my knuckles are all swollen, and my hands hurt so bad I can barely even close them. But I don't know. I don't like when it's like that because it feels like somebody, like I punched the wall or something, and I broke all my knuckles. Anyway, the voice of God weapon returns. The voice of God weapon. Device that projects voices into your head to make you think that God is speaking to you is the military's equivalent of an urban myth, meaning it is mentioned periodically at defense workshops. And I saw it in something I told you a couple of days ago. I was reading about the Gulf Wars, and they had talked about not only hearing Allah, but being able to beam Allah. And it's typically somebody whispering about it actually being used. Now, Stephen Corman, writing at the Compos Com Ops Journal, describes his own encounter with the urban myth. At a government workshop some time ago, I had heard someone describe a new tool that was described as the voice of Allah. Ding! And this was not where I read about that. It was said to be a device that would operate at a distance and would deliver a message that only a single person could hear. And the story was that it was tested in a conflict situation in Iraq, pointed at one insurgent in a group who whipped around, looking in all directions, and began a heated conversation with his compatriots who did not hear the message. And at the time, I greeted the story with some skepticism. Well, is there any basis to this technology? Well, Holosonic Research Labs and the American Technology Corporation both have versions of direct sound, which can allow a single person to hear a message that others around do not hear. DARPA appears to be working on its own sonic projector. Intriguingly, Strategy Page reports that troops are using the long-range acoustical device as a modified voice of God weapon. It appears that some of the troops in Iraq are using quote unquote spoken as opposed to screeching LRAD to mess with enemy fighters. Islamic terrorists tend to be superstitious and, of course, very religious. So, why aren't we using this on ISIS right now then? Explain that one to me. If they were so concerned about making ISIS surrender, why don't we just beam Allah down on them? Bing! Give it up, people. Go crawl back into a cave. I mean, what? Why wouldn't we do that? Since we've spent billions of taxpayer dollars to develop all this shit over the last 25 years, I don't know. Makes no sense to me. Well, it does. They don't want ISIS to go away, because if ISIS went away, then they'd have no reason to spend billions of dollars on the military-industrial complex. Problem, reaction, solution. LRAD can put the word of God into their heads, and if God is in the form of a voice that only you can hear, and it tells you to surrender or run away, what are you gonna do? Well, as Corman also notes, CNET recently wrote about an advertisement for New York's A&E TV show Paranormal State. Yeah, that's the one. Which uses some of this technology and beyond directed sound. It has also been known that microwaves at certain frequencies can produce an auditory effect that sounds like it is coming from within someone's head. And there was a nagging question of a classified microwave network, ding, 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 at Brooks Air Force Base that the Air Force stubbornly refuses to talk about. That brings us back to the voice of God, Allah weapon. Is it real or is it bogus? In one version, related to me by another defense reporter, it's not just Allah's voice, but an entire holographic image projected above. Ding! And I told you, I read about that in another publication, but does it exist? Well, I'm not sure. But it is funny that when you hear brought up at defense conferences, no one ever asks the obvious question, Does anyone think this thing will actually convince people that God is speaking to them? Oh, hi, the author is thinking not. Now, when we read this the last time, I pointed out that they had actually warned, Wernher von Braun, tying into yesterday, had warned about weaponizing space since the 80s. And I think von Braun was still alive then. When did he die? Wernher. Maybe he died in 78. No, I don't know. I think he died in the 80s. Von Braun. I know I'm typing. I'm doing single finger typing because my hands hurt. Oh, he died in 1977. Oh, I'm sorry. Did he really? I guess he did. Huh. Did you know von Braun was Polish? What? I didn't know that. He was born in Poland. He died in Virginia. And on June 16th, 1977, 6 months after, I went to New Zealand. How weird is that? Von Braun had warned about weaponizing space. 1985 or 6, Ronnie Reagan was in office, and he'd started on that Star Wars program that he said he ended. And it's kind of a frightening thought, because Ronnie Reagan was also the one who had kind of said that if a threat came from outside, if we thought we were being threatened by an outside force, that the world would all come together as one. Wink. It's really disturbing to me that we have all of this technology up and in the sky and developed and mounted on all kinds of towers and things all over. I don't know. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know what the end game is going to be. But at some point in the not-too-distant future, I have a feeling that we probably will be the targets of some of this technology. There are people already, many people, who claim to hear voices in their heads. I watched a documentary a couple nights back. It was over the weekend. There was a doctor who apparently helps many people who claim to be targeted individuals, and he seemed to have some really good insight. And one of the, and I don't know if that is still open here or not, but one of the things that he had talked about is that there were two separate things, technology, well, not actually technologies, but two separate things that they were doing, and one was a voice that potentially sounded just like your voice. And it would make you think that these were your thoughts. Talking to yourself inside of your head. And then there was another that obviously was not your voice, but it was a voice that could be threatening, potentially telling you to do things and make people really freak out. I knock on wood. I've never had anything like that happen to me. Never say never. Pretty frightening, though. I used to think that this was all tinfoil hatty type stuff until we really started digging into. I mean, it all started with just looking at the electromagnetic spectrum and DARPA wanting to put an AI behind reallocating everything on the fly real time. That's where this all started. And as we dug more and more and pulled more of these threads, I've become quite horrified over all of this and what we are seeing. Now, we read a Washington Post story. We started it the other day from 1999. Let's take a look at this because I started thinking about some of the things that have transpired since the 90s until today. Thought about those two stories out of Wired about DARPA and these sonic projectors and the Voice of God weapon and being potentially used in Gulf War 1 and 2. We'd started this Washington Post story out of their archives a couple days ago titled When Seeing and Hearing Isn't Believing. This is out of their .mil section from military technology. It starts out where they have a quotation from supposedly a general, General Carl W. Steiner, former commander-in-chief of the U.S. Special Operations Command. And mind you, this is February 1st, 1999. Saying, gentlemen, we've called you together, and this is his voice, to tell you that we are overthrowing the government. But then they say, oh, but it wasn't him. It actually was a voice that just sounded a lot like him. But guess what? It wasn't Steiner saying that at all. It was the result of this new voice morphing technology that they developed at Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Now, we had already seen that back in the 20s and the 30s with Bell Labs, they had already been working on artificial larynxes to be able to produce vocal sounds. They were working on Vox technology with synthesizers back in the 20s and early 30s as well. So voice synthesis was not a new thing, but voice morphing was a little bit new. But considering that this was the 90s, it was pretty cutting edge at that time. We just found out recently that Adobe is releasing a Photoshop for voice. We read about that a couple different times, where they only need 20 minutes of your voice, and they could duplicate, splice, and dice things that you say, insert them, and make you say things you never did, as well as video. We saw that face to face, I think it was called, where you can be behind a camera and then use your motions, your facial expressions and your head motion, hands motion, and apply that to someone else's facial skin and then broadcast that on video. Well, the fact that this was from 1999, kind of shocking to me. Again, just like the Bell Labs technologies that we thought maybe were developed in the 50s and the 60s, but were actually developed in the 20s and the 30s, way ahead of its time. So it wasn't Steiner, General Steiner. It was this voice morphing technology developed at Los Alamos Labs in New Mexico. New Mexico, which seems to be, I'm so drawn there, just so you guys know, I've been there three different times now. And every time I come home, I want to go back again. It's kind of like, what was that movie? Do-do-do-do-do. Dreyfus with his mashed potatoes building the mesa. That's how I feel about New Mexico. Like, I'm so drawn there. And I didn't know, though, for many years about a lot of this mad science and secret labs going on there. I've been by Los Alamos a couple times. I'm sure that's probably one of the most radioactive places just because of experimentation and Manhattan Project and all that stuff. You know, they had barrels of plutonium for a while sitting outside of Los Alamos, and they had been pouring it into the ditches way back when they had all those wildfires. So like, oh, there's radioactivity everywhere in these fires. But it's still beautiful. It is just so beautiful in New Mexico. And those mesas just do something to me, and the sky is amazing. But anyway, and they have all the creepy mysteries. By taking just a 10-minute digital recording of Steiner's voice, scientist George Pepkun is able, in near real time, to clone speech patterns and develop an accurate facsimile. Steiner, General Steiner, was so impressed he asked for a copy of the tape. Steiner was hardly the first or the last victim to be spoofed. I want to stop right there. The last victim to be spoofed. Now, when I started putting this Voice of God weapon and the sonic projector in sequential tabs next to when hearing and seeing isn't believing, and this voice morphing technology, and then their wording of victim, it made me think to myself, the doctor in that documentary was talking about how people have described two different types of attacks. And one is in their own voice telling them to do things, and two is in somebody else's voice being harassing inside of their heads. Now, If they had developed this in the 90s at a military facility, no less, right around the same times that they were working on some of these other technologies, why not put the two of them together? I don't know, just asking. But it seems a little convenient. I really think that these two things are related completely. Scientist George Papkoon is able in near real time to clone speech patterns and develop an accurate facsimile. Steiner was so impressed, he asked for a copy of the tape. Steiner was hardly the first or the last victim to be spoofed by the team members. To refine their method, they took various high-quality recordings of generals and experimented with creating fake statements. Now, again, shouldn't this be considered like some sort of crime that you're using voices of generals saying that we're declaring war, we're overthrowing things? Why wouldn't you just be using some sort of nobody researcher saying things like, my cat is pretty? Like, I was just horrified that they're talking about this and they're doing things that are very dangerous. You know, let's call up the president and recommend to them in our voice spoof, oh, it'll be so funny, that we attack the Russians. I mean, what? I couldn't even believe that they were, and the way they were writing about this was just insane. One of the most memorable is Colin Powell stating that I am being treated well by my captors. They chose to have him say something that he would never otherwise have said. And most Americans were introduced to the tricks of the digital age in the movie Forrest Gump, when the character played by Tom Hanks appears to shake hands with President Kennedy. For Hollywood, it's all about special effects. But for covert operations in the U.S. military and the intelligence agencies, ding, 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 guess what? It is a weapon of the future. Once you can take any kind of information and reduce it into ones and zeros, you can do some pretty interesting things, says Daniel T. Cool, chairman of the Information Operations Department of the National Defense University in Washington, the military's school for information warfare. Digital morphing, voice, video, and photo has come of age. Guys, this was in 1999. Available for use in psychological operations. PSYOPs, as the military calls it, seeks to exploit human vulnerabilities in enemy governments, militaries, and populations to pursue national and battlefield objectives. To some, PSYOPs is a backwater military discipline of leaflet dropping and radio propaganda. But to a growing group of information war technologists, it is the nexus of fantasy and reality. Being able to manufacture convincing audio or video, they say, might be the difference in a successful military operation or coup. Now, if anyone remembers, too, we had, you know, Osama bin Laden videos popping up. We had, I don't know. It's frightening. Now, this was 1999. This was kind of between Gulf War I and II. And I don't know, had we been out of there already? Had Gulf War I ever ended? First one started in like 91. Second one started in like 2002, I believe. And here we go, because this is the article that talks about Allah on the holodeck. Next section, Allah on the holodeck. The Pentagon planners, and I wonder if this author's still alive, because I think he gave away a little too much of the story in this article. All on the holodeck. Pentagon planners started to discuss digital morphing after Iraq's invasion of Kuwait back in 1990. Covert operators kicked around the idea of creating a computer-faked video of Saddam Hussein crying or showing other such manly weaknesses or in some sexually compromising situation. The nascent plan was for the tapes to be flooded into Iraq and the Arab world. And the tape was never preceded, killed, participants say, by bureaucratic fights over jurisdiction, skepticism over the technologies, as well as concerns raised by, wink, Arab coalition partners. Wonder if that was the Saudis. But strategic PSYOP scheming didn't die. What if the U.S. projected a holographic image of Allah floating over Baghdad, urging the Iraqi people and the army to rise up against Saddam? A senior Air Force officer asked in 1990. And according to a military physicist, given the task of looking into the hologram idea, the feasibility has been established. Projecting large three-dimensional objects that appeared to be floating in the air. Wink, blue bean. But doing so over the skies of Iraq? Well, to project such a hologram over Baghdad on the order of several hundred feet, they calculated, would take a mirror more than a square mile in space, as well as huge projectors and power sources. And besides, investigators came back, what does Allah look like? Well, the Gulf War hologram story might be dismissed were it not for the case that the Washington Post has learned that a super secret program was established in 1994 to pursue that very technology for PSYOP applications. It was called the Holographic Projector, unlike the Sonic Projector, which was DARPA's. And that is described in a classified Air Force document. So both things were being pursued by the Air Force. Is a system to, quote unquote, project information power from space. Wink. For special operations deception missions. Voice morphing, fake video, holographic projection. What? They all sound like Mission Impossible and Star Trek gimmicks more than weapons. Yet for each, there are corresponding and growing research efforts as the technologies improve and offensive information warfare expands. Whereas early voice morphing required cutting and pasting speech to put letters or words together to make a composite, the Los Alamos software can far more accurately replicate the way one actually speaks, and it eliminates all of the robotic intonations. Now, interestingly, that was what they were saying about that Adobe software. That was a little choppy right now, but they were working on it, and they were going to get out all the kinks. The irony is that after Papkun and his team finished the speech cloning research, there apparently were no takers in the military. Come on. Yeah, you know what? Bing, I see a big red dot on that one. Yeah, that nobody wanted it. We talked about all these different plans that we had for PSYOPs. Nope, nope, nope. And maybe the CIA took it. Maybe the military decided we give it to the CIA. Who knows? But anyway, luckily for him, Hollywood wanted it. And the promise of creating a virtual Clark Gable is mightier than the sword. Video and photo manipulation has already raised profound questions. We looked at some of the ethics, too, and some of the new laws they're trying to work on about if you die, who owns your image and your voice. So, you know, look at the Star Wars movie. They want to make bazillions of dollars on you even after you're dead if you inked a contract. Video and photo manipulation already raised profound questions of authenticity for the journalistic world. Notice how they're not even talking about that anymore. And you have things like fake news like CNN going, oh, look, we've just beamed in Wolf from Baghdad. And while audio joining the mix It is not only journalists, but also privacy advocates and the conspiracy-minded. Put on that tinfoil hat. Who will no doubt ponder the worrisome mischief that lurks in the not-too-distant future. Quote, we already know that seeing isn't necessarily believing, says Dan Kuehl. But now I guess hearing isn't either. Now, this dude, the author of this story, William M. Arkin, for the WashingtonPost.com, is the author of The U.S. Military Online and is a leading expert on national security and the Internet. He lectures and writes on nuclear weapons, military matters, and information warfare. He was an Army intelligence analyst from 1974 to 78. And Arkin currently consults for the Washington Post, Newsweek Interactive, MSNBC, and the National Resource Defense Council. Huh. I don't know. I'm going to have to check him out because he seemed to know a little bit more than the average bear. Okay, so where do we go from here? So there was a story, if I can now click, and as I clicked on my next story, it's closed. So give me a moment. My browser is acting wiggy. Maybe it's my fingers. No, guys, my knuckles really aren't working. They hurt very bad. What? Where's my story? Hold on. Now it didn't. It closed it again. Oh, my browser is wigging. Oh. Are you kidding? Hold on. All right. I'm sorry. All right. This is out of globalresearch.ca titled, and we read the title the other day, but we didn't have a chance to get to it. Psychotronic and electromagnetic weapons, remote control of the human nervous system. Where have we read about something like this before? This story was out of 2013 with an update in 2014, but we had just read a Scientific American story about DARPA's new neural dust that could enable a Fitbit for the nervous system. Did we not? Oh, yes, we did. So, you know, go back a few years, they were already talking about remote control of the human nervous system. And now with, I believe it was Berkeley, DARPA was working at making this neural dust that could be implanted in our nervous system to be able to do remote control, zippity zaps, and all kinds of crazy things. Anyway, in March of 2012, the Russian Defense Minister Anatoly Surdkovkov said, quote, the development of weaponry based on new physics principles, which are directed energy weapons, geophysical weapons, like ones that could set off earthquakes or volcanic eruptions, wave energy weapons, genetic weapons, psychotronic weapons, etc., are all a part of the state arms procurement program for Russia between 2011 and 2020. The world media reacted to this hint on the open use of psychotronic weapons by the publication of scientific experiments from the 60s. So they already were experimenting with things like this in the 60s. Where electromagnetic waves were used to transmit simple sounds into the human brain. However, most of them avoided saying that since the extensive scientific research had been carried out in this area throughout the world, only a Colombian newspaper called the El Spectador published an article covering the whole scale of achievements on this technology. Britain's Daily Mail, as another exception, wrote that the research into electromagnetic weapons has been secretly carried out in the USA and Russia since the 1950s. And we started looking, when we were looking at microwaves and those microwave towers, I had come upon some documentation where we were accusing Russia back in the 50s and the 60s of beaming microwaves at our U.S. embassy in their country. And that then led our scientists to start looking at the biological effects of microwaves on humans to see whether or not it could be doing some sort of damage. And that's kind of where this whole crazy spiral we've been down now for the last few weeks kind of started into microwaves and psychotronics. But the USA and Russia have been experimenting secretly since the 1950s, and the previous research has shown that low frequency waves or beams that can affect brain cells, and that would be our VLF and our ELF, which are in the same frequency as our brain waves, can alter psychological states and make it possible to transmit suggestions and commands directly into someone else's thought processes. High doses of microwaves can damage the functioning of internal organs, and we found that in an independent study that had actually looked at some of the military's findings studying microwaves, and he had come to the conclusion that absolutely it could do some damage. But they also showed that it could control behavior or even drive victims to suicide. In 1975, a neuropsychologist called Don R. Judson, the director of Laboratories of Experimental Neuropsychology at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Kansas City, which is where we covered one of those big microwave towers tied to one of the missile bases. We did too. It's still owned by AT&T. They unwittingly leaked national security information by publishing an article in American Psychologist on the influence of microwaves on living creatures' behavior. In the article, the neuropsychologist quoted the results of an experiment described to him by his colleague, Joseph C. Sharp, who was working on Project Pandora, which we actually looked into, is a secret project of the American Navy. Dr. Don R. Judson wrote, quote, "By radiating themselves with these quote-unquote voice-modulated microwaves, Sharp and Grove were readily able to hear, identify, and distinguish among the nine words, and the sounds heard were not unlike those emitted by persons with a what? Artificial larynxes." Hey, now imagine that, because the inventor of the artificial larynx was, oh, in the 1920s, Bell Laboratories. Can you even believe this? Connect another dot. So that this system was later brought to perfection is proved by a document which appeared on the website of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in 1997, where its Office of Research and Development presented the Department of Defense project called Communicating Via the Microwave Auditory Effect. In the description, and it said, quote, "An innovative and revolutionary technology is described that offers a low probability of intercept radio frequency communications. The feasibility of the concept has been established using both a low-intensity laboratory system and a high-power RF transmitter. Numerous military applications exist in areas of search and rescue, security, and special operations." And then again, in January of 2007, the Washington Post pops up again, and they wrote on the same subject. They say, quote, "In 2002, the Air Force Research Laboratory patented precisely such a technology using microwaves to send words into someone's head. Rich Garcia, a spokesman for the Research Laboratory Directed Energy Directorate, declined to discuss the patents or the current work or the related research in the field, citing the lab's policy not to comment on its microwave work. But in response to a Freedom of Information Act request followed, and it filed for the article, the Air Force released unclassified documents surrounding a 2002 patent, records that note that the patent was based on human experimentation that happened in October of 1994 at the Air Force Laboratory, which that original article we read said that it started where scientists were able to transmit phrases into the heads of human subjects, albeit with marginal intelligibility. But research appeared to continue through at least 2002. Where this work has gone since is unclear. Yeah, ding-a-ling-a-ling. And the research laboratory, citing classification, refused to discuss or release any other materials. We can only stress again that the world media avoided publishing the full scale of the progress in the research of the remote control of the human nervous system. Dr. Robert Becker, who was twice nominated for Nobel Prizes for his share in the discovery of the effects of pulsed fields at the healing of broken bones, wrote in his book, The Body Electric, about the experiment from 1974. And this, again, was released due to the Freedom of Information Act. J.F. Shepard stated, quote, in this investigation, it will be shown that the spoken word of a hypnotist may also be conveyed by modulated electromagnetic energy directly into subconscious parts of the human brain, i.e., without employing any technical devices for receiving or transcoding messages, and without the person being exposed to such influence having a chance to control the information input consciously, so they can even send it into your subconscious without you even knowing. And in one of the four experiments, subjects were given a test of 100 questions ranging from easy to technical. Later, not knowing that they were being irradiated, they would be subjected to information beams suggesting an answer to the questions they had left blank, and amnesia for some of their correct answers, memory falsification for other correct answers. And after 2 weeks, they had to pass the test again. The results of the second test were never published. And it is rather evident that in those experiments, the messages were sent into human brains in ultrasound frequencies, which the human brain perceives, but of which the subject is unaware. Dr. Robert Becker, due to those publications and his refusal for support for the building of antenna with communication with submarines in brain frequencies, says that it was lost forever.